Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, also Apple Podcasts, and you can find us on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel as we speak. Royal Shepherd, Ariel Gad, and the rest of the guys are setting up for post-up on 5R. Of course, we do Before Floor, an hour before every Heat game. Greg and I always appear on that one. Also, check out fivereasonsports.com. Spell it out. I'm sure Brady Hawk's latest takeaways are already up. We have no paywall that differentiates us from the other outlets. Plus, I think we have better content. So make sure you go to fivereasonsports.com and check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This is where you need to go to play your daily fantasy. It's prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. That's code 5, F-I-V-E. And you'll get your bonus. You'll get your deposit match. That's the bonus. And you can play anything. Okay. MLB is over, obviously, but you got NHL, NBA, NFL. You can play Prize Picks on multiple sports, multiple athletes in the same sport, whatever it is you want to do, 2, 3, 4, 5 players. So play the up downs and learn it. Okay. They've got the last 5 results on there too. So you can definitely check that out if you want to compare what players have been doing recently to what you think they're going to do on a given night. So go to prizepicks.com, use the code 5, just deposit $20. That's all that you got to do. And then give it a shot. Again, it's prizepicks.com. The code is 5, F-I-V-E. And now tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. 5 on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on 5 on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I've got Greg Sylvander with me. Alex Toledo and Alejandro Villegas are at the arena. I don't know if Alex is going to have an opportunity to join us. We're starting here right before the buzzer because this one has been over for a while. The Miami Heat at home, first time with their mashup uniforms, and they got mashed. They got hammered 33-9 in the second quarter, just came in final 95-78, 33-9 in the second quarter. I mean, that's really the story. I mean, we can talk about the other three quarters. Miami played good defense in the first quarter, was up 24-18 after it. The third quarter, they made a run back into it, and then Duncan Robinson missed a bunch of open threes, and that got him out of it. And of course, the other story is, after the comeback was sort of over, Duncan Robinson trying to take a charge, he sort of fell back into Kyle Lowry's leg, and Kyle rolled his ankle. So Kyle did not return. It didn't look great. But again, the other night, Kyle got hurt and he came back after just missing one game. So we'll see what happens there. For some of those on Twitter, and there, you know, this is a total Twitter overreaction night, Greg. Some of those on Twitter, oh, there's Kyle's going to be hurt all year. I mean, literally, LaMelo Ball is 21 years old and he would have rolled his ankle the exact same way. That has nothing to do with age. That has to do with being, no, some of this stuff, Greg, you're looking at me like I'm insane. Some of this stuff is actually on Twitter tonight. So obviously the Lowry injury is kind of foremost here, in terms of going forward. That's the most important thing that happened. But let's go through some of the numbers, Greg, but also I want to go through perception versus reality here. Okay. Jimmy Butler, in my view, didn't have a particularly strong game, but he did finish with 20 points, 4 rebounds, a couple assists, a couple of turnovers. Bam Adebayo was mostly invisible tonight. The stat line's okay, 13-7-4-2 steals, but 5 turnovers and just not impactful. Lowry, before he went out, was 2 of 9 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, just 6 points. He did have 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. He was kind of leading the comeback in the third quarter before it fizzled out. But the other two guys to kind of look at tonight, and again, they don't have Strus. Dedmon and Morris and Martin played off the bench. But the two guys to kind of look at tonight, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. And to me, this is a bit of a perception thing here. And I just want your view on it, because it's pretty clear from the start of the season that Duncan Robinson is the guy who's going to get most of the Heat's ire when they don't play well, whether it's the contract or the fact that he's more one-dimensional than Tyler is. And look, Tyler's got off to a tremendous start. We've talked about it. Duncan has not gone off to a tremendous start. But I just want to do a perception versus reality thing here, because Duncan's getting all the heat for tonight. He was a minus one on the game. I know it's small sample size theater, but they literally were outscored by 1 point when he was on the floor. Okay. He was 5 of 17, all from three. Okay. And my whole thing is this: Tyler Herro was on the court for 29 minutes tonight. He was a minus 32. I mean, there's nobody else on the team who was worse than minus 12. And so I'm not pinning the loss on just Tyler either. This was a team loss. But what is it about? Because this is not going to be a one night thing. Heat fans have been waiting to unleash on Duncan. I mean, yeah. if he goes 7 of 17 from three, which is about his average, 7 or 8 for 17, they still lose the game, right?
Yeah.
Because not enough other guys played well. So, I mean, what is this?
There's a couple things. One, Tyler has been playing out of his mind, so people can forgive an off night, I think, a little quicker. And also Duncan fell into Kyle's ankle. And so there is probably a faction of the folks that are lashing out that are angry that that took place. And then also it's compounded by the fact that I think it was just last game, right, that Duncan fouled out in limited minutes and things like that. I think actually Eric Spoelstra will come away encouraged by the fact he got up 17 attempts. But yeah, Tyler was not good tonight. And when we talk about perception versus reality, I think that there's layers to that beyond just Duncan and Tyler. Just in that, like, going into the season, Boston Miami is a pretty even matchup. I mean, mostly in league circles, that's what you would say. And yes, there's been some moments where Boston is going to implode, but again, it's a really early season. And to think that Boston was going to mail it in and implode that soon with such good talent at the top of that roster playing so many minutes, I thought was unrealistic. So to me, I'm not as concerned overall. And we're going to talk a little bit more about all of the other things that took place tonight. But for the Duncan Tyler thing in particular, this has to do with that Tyler's been playing out of his mind. And Duncan, if he's not going to shoot lights out, then the least he can do is not injured the point guard that makes the offense run.
Okay, but let's get into the injury thing, because I'm scrolling through Twitter,
which is completely irrational and wrong, because he didn't do that on purpose. No, it was incidental contact. But I'm just making lightheartedness.
No, I get it, but others are serious, so that's why we have to address it. And even Nate Duncan, who I respect, obviously, I had Nate on the pod, and I was on his pod. Nate used the Duncan Robinson as an example of why the charge rules need to be changed, because he viewed what Duncan did as a flop and that the flop ends up injuring Lowry. So, I mean, a case could be made for that, but this idea that he injured Lowry, I mean, lots of players have run into other players over the years. But it is very clear now. I mean, every year, you know, Heat fans pick somebody. There's always one. You know, in some cases like Hassan, it's deserved. In other cases, you know, or maybe it was Gerald Green one year. I remember one year it was Ricky David. I mean, there's always a guy. Okay. But for this particular team, you know, again, Duncan Robinson serves a vital purpose, I believe, going forward. His contract is not unreasonable for what other shooters around the league are being paid. And the contract is a potential trade chip, provided that he gets it together. This is not one of those situations where a guy is dogging it or whatever. He's in a slump. Okay. And I get it that the slump kind of took him out of it today, but I mean, that second quarter was not all on him. I mean, the third quarter where they made a run behind Lowry and then Duncan misses some open threes. Yes. Okay. Absolutely pointed out. I'm not going to be an apologist. He has to shoot better. I mean, to justify his place on the court, he's got to shoot 40% from three on high volume. We know that he hasn't done that so far. Fine. But like to isolate him for tonight, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's spacing.
Tyler. I mean, come on. Like he's been like spearheading the offense for large stretches. Where was
Bam tonight? I mean, Bam got outplayed by Al Horford tonight. Yeah. Like that should not happen in 2021. Like I just, Jimmy was not great tonight. The numbers finished fine, but
he was clunky. Kyle was clunky. Six turnovers. You're right.
So to me, it's like to pin it on one guy. I think, you know, the question we'll get into in the second half of the pod is what from tonight is concerning going forward, other than the Lowry injury, obviously, and we need to address that. But I don't know. My immediate reaction, and look, the reaction to my tweet tonight, like I'm being an apologist for Duncan. I'm not. Okay. I'm not saying he's played great. I mean, some of the tweets that come in, he says, You know, sample size. Hero has been phenomenal out of the gate. Duncan's been bad out of the gate. Tonight, the entire team was trash. I would agree with that. Okay. This one comes in. Ethan stopped. Duncan Robinson's job is to hit open threes, which he hasn't been doing for a whole season outside of Memphis. And he got Lowry injured. This one, Duncan should add the 2-point jump shot. You know, I just, and Sean Rochester makes the point that he made 7 out of 10 over the past two games. I think he's talking about Lowry there. I believe because Duncan was actually shot a lot more than that. I think he's talking about Duncan. This is going to become exhausting if this is going to be the story all season. And I can tell you, Eric Spoelstra is not going to tell him to stop shooting, and he's not going to yank him from the starting lineup. So
no.
It's going on deaf ears. It doesn't benefit anybody. You can't put, until Oladipo comes back, okay, you cannot put Tyler Hero in the starting lineup with Duncan Robinson on the bench. They have no one to initiate offense off that bench.
Correct. You're right.
So now we're going to have a Gabe Vincent discussion, I'm sure, which you and I should talk about a little if Lowry's going to miss any time, because they've got Utah coming in and they're going to be facing the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets don't have their real point guard back yet. But I mean, they've got two really difficult matchups coming up, and you know, they may be without Kyle. It certainly looked like it. I just, criticism of a particular player is fair. We'll do it here, but this is like overboard on a team that is already 5-2 on the season with this guy on the starting lineup. I think they had a bad night tonight, but I do think there are some things that were exposed a little bit. And when Greg and I come back, we're going to talk about those things because they are legitimate things. But again, let's put it into some context. All right, we're going to tell you about a new sponsor here on Five on the Floor, not on the network, but on Five on the Floor, and that's BetUS.com. I hope you didn't take my advice tonight, because I liked the Heat -3.5 in the first half. That didn't work out so well, especially when you score 9 points in the second quarter. But with sports betting season in full force, you got football, of course, you've got the NBA. You want to be betting over at BetUS. It's BetUS.com. They got loads of bonuses. One bonus you get by using the code 5, F-I-V-E, is 125% sign-up bonus just for signing up. Use that code 5. We made it simple for you, so it's the same as that other one we use for our fantasy partner Prize Picks. Use the code 5. They also have referral bonuses, re-upping bonuses. It's known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. So use that code. Try the live betting platform. It's terrific. You do get your money quicker than some of the other sites. I can tell you that the rollover is not as difficult to get to the end of it, to make sure you get your bonus money. Trust me, I've used a bunch of these betting platforms. Try BetUS.com. Use the code 5. Bet it before the Dolphin game this weekend so you have a reason to watch that trash. Or if you want to bet the Heat games, NBA, do the parlays, whatever you want to do, it's BetUS.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. All right, so let's get to it. I know you were trying to calm Heat fans on Twitter. It's kind of your role, and I'm with you tonight. Like I think this is a bad night after they've been rolling a little bit. But you actually said, and I agree with you, that they kind of needed to get smacked like this a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, every team does, but particularly when you start feeling yourself to the point that you come out and you don't have the same edge and intensity from jump, like that tells me that they were feeling themselves, and like they were seeing the quotes and they were reading the metrics and they were watching the film, and they've been absolutely amazing. They've been covering ground that you see very few teams do defensively. So you watch enough of that stuff, you get tunnel vision and start to feel like, you know, like this is who we are. And that probably most likely is who they are. But to that point, like every once in a while, I think, and I said it during our halftime spaces, pace and spaces on Twitter, is like, you need to be challenged throughout a regular season. And I was hoping that in that moment, I was saying just within the course of a game that you get challenged and that it would turn out better from Miami's perspective. But truthfully, you actually need to be challenged and you need to be able to watch how this team bounces back from that. Even if Kyle doesn't play for, let's say, a week, I'm just completely making that up. Like, let's see how they navigate that. It may not be pretty. It may be pretty, but like part of that is just the ebbs and flows of a long ass season, and it's just too early. So I'm not really concerned overall, but we're going to talk about the stuff that I think is stuff to watch out for as we get, you know, into this Utah, LA, or I guess Denver in between LA.
Yeah, and a couple of things on that. First, we're having a watch party on Monday for the Denver game, so don't blame us for that. They're in Denver. We know what typically happens in Denver. It's going to be at the Quarterdeck in Sunrise. Make sure you go to the right one. There's a bunch of Quarterdecks. I feel like I live at them, but this is the one at Sunrise, closest to Sawgrass Mills Mall and the Panthers Arena, and there's no Panther game at home that night, so you won't have a traffic problem. They're actually in New York against the Rangers, so if you want to watch the Panther game or Steelers versus Bears, which is the Monday night game, you can do that as well until the Heat game starts. Also, I will be in Los Angeles next week. Just booked it. I'm going to be at both the Clippers and the Lakers games for the Heat, so it's my first road trip in quite a while, so it's going to be good to kind of get with the players in a little bit of a different setting. Something that was not really possible during sort of the worst of COVID. So that's something I'm looking forward to. And we'll see if Kyle Lowry's playing. I think you're going to get to one of the concerns here, which is that if Kyle Lowry is not playing, we saw that the last time that happened, that they completely fell apart offensively. And I think that is a reasonable thing to be concerned about, because not only are you without Lowry potentially now, you're also without Strus, which was not the case before. So your bench has gotten even thinner. And so you really have no choice but to start Gabe Vincent here. And then it becomes, okay, you know, how do you get enough overall sort of scoring and playmaking without Lowry and then without another shooter in Strus? So you're sort of, Gabe's going to have to play well if that's the case. And I'm not assuming a long absence, but it didn't look great with Lowry. And again, at his age, here's the thing about the age thing. And a couple people on Twitter were like, well, Kyle got hurt because he's old. He doesn't get hurt because he's old, but it may take him longer to come back because he's older. That is a legitimate.
And they may be more careful, Ethan.
And they may be more careful, as they would be with Jimmy or with PJ or with Markieff Morris or any of their older players. So it is possible he gets held out a game or two longer than maybe he would have otherwise when he was 26, 27 years old. But that is something to watch when you don't really have a proven backup point guard. I mean, we like Gabe. We had Gabe on the pod. I like the way he looked in the scrimmage and some of the preseason, but he has to prove it. I mean, he has to prove he can shoot, you know, at a reasonable level at this level, not just in the G League, and that he can play make and he can get them into offense and he can create a little bit. Otherwise, if you can't put the ball in his hands for that, then I don't really know what his role is, because then you're better off having a bigger shooter out there with Jimmy handling more often, and they don't have Strus right now. So that is why. This is even more problematic, Greg, if Lowry misses time than it was before.
Big time. It's like, can Goran hurry up and get traded to another team that can buy him out so that we can figure out a way to get him back here to just stem the tide till Kyle's back? No, right? That's I'm dreaming. But this really, to me, like, this is where you go to Tyler and you say, how do you feel about playing 36 minutes per game for the next, you know, four or five? And really leaning into the stuff you've been doing even more, and us, and maybe you don't need to, you know, articulate all this verbally to him, but like, this is a moment where I don't think we can necessarily put this on Gabe to get this group organized and direct traffic in the way, like, they've been playing at such a high level that I just don't know that Gabe Vincent can come in and quarterback that. It's not viable. So your best players are going to have to be the ones that close that gap. And so, like, it may mean that for a week, Bam Adebayo, instead of averaging 1.5 assists a game, he needs to pass the ball a little bit more. So you see how, like, just subtle little things can maybe be done quite differently. But to me, the biggest opportunity here, other than Duncan, obviously, maybe getting out of his shooting slump, but I don't know how that happens without Kyle on the court, but that would really help get through this. It's giving the ball to Tyler even more and just leaning into that and hoping that his good play continues.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a lot more dribble handoff with Bam and Duncan. That's one way to try to get Duncan going, and maybe you go back to some of those sets that you used to run. You run them a little bit more frequently, so that's an option. But, I mean, you're looking at a team in Utah that just came in and just big road win tonight. I mean, they're, you know, in Atlanta. I mean, that's not an easy place. And that's not an easy team to deal with right now. I mean, the Jazz are playing at a high level. And obviously against Gobert, I think one of the things that we wanted to see was Bam's aggression, which a lot of times is lately has been created by, you know, Lowry sort of forcing him to be aggressive. So without Lowry, Bam has to do a lot of that on his own. We saw last year, you know, the Heat got destroyed out in Utah last year during a time they weren't playing particularly well. It might have been Jimmy's worst game of the season. So they've got a lot in front of them. with these next two. They're not going to be easy. Then they go to LA. They got a back-to-back. And things can turn quickly. We know with the fan base. I think the positive is now, Greg, we've seen enough now from this team to know what the potential of it is. This idea, though, that they weren't going to go through some potholes is kind of silly. You know, look, if I'm out in LA and Duncan Robinson is 2-for-17 for three for those two games, you know, we'll have serious discussions about that. I just don't think we're at the stage right now. I think he's in a bit of a slump. He's in his head a little bit. He doesn't seem to be used to getting open shots. And it's got to get better. There's no question. It's got to get better. But again, I thought tonight was a little bit of an overreaction to it. All right, that's it from Greg and I today. We did two today. Two advertisers with the same code to make it really easy for you. PrizePicks.com for your daily fantasy. BetUS. BetUS for your gambling needs. And we'll be back on Saturday or Sunday. We're figuring that out right now. Most likely on Saturday. And then we'll take you into next week. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.